Have your Bibles, you can turn, if you would please, to the gospel, not the gospel, but to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7. In Isaiah chapter 7, and then we'll be leafing over to Isaiah chapter 9, a very familiar passage, as both of these are. Isaiah 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," meaning God with us. Then over to Isaiah chapter 9, and verses 2 and 6. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of peace." Father, again, how we thank you for this day of worship. But really, Lord, every day is a time of worship, whether we're at home, whether we're driving from one place to another, whether we're sitting silently out at the woods, in the woods, as we were during the hunting season, some of us. Lord, we worship you in spirit and in truth, longing to hear from you. As you speak to us, as you minister to us, through the simple things of nature, as we observe your beauty all around us, but also more importantly through the scriptures, in our time alone with you in fellowship and in prayer. Lord, our desire in the world that we live in today is that you will always keep us close to yourself. We live in a very complicated, a very chaotic, a very confusing world. We hear things, we see things that we find quite disturbing and troubling. But you have reminded us over and over, do not be afraid. For in this world that there will be problems and there will be heartache and pain, but to be of good cheer because you have overcome the world. And therefore we are overcomers. So we lean heavily upon you and the work of your Spirit as well. And Father, I ask that in your mighty name, that though I am the chosen vessel to share your truth, but Lord, your people who have gathered here to hear from you, the Spirit of the living God, as you inspired the prophet of old to write these particular verses as we have them right here, Lord, likewise, inspire our minds and our hearts that we will hear distinctly from you and to know how to live in the world that we are living in right now. Thank you for the hope that we have. Thank you for the love that you've shed abroad in our hearts. Thank you for your joy and your peace. Indeed, your name is Wonderful. May we capture in our mind's eye how wonderful you truly are. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, we just kind of look at that. Advent season is a very, you know, special time of year. In fact, I was unfamiliar with Advent when I was growing up in the church. It wasn't until I met Diane. And with her background in the church, you know, she kind of mentioned Advent to me. And I kind of looked at her and I said, huh? What's that? I was totally unfamiliar with it. Now, maybe in churches, you know, that I attended, they may have mentioned, but there was never really a reading. There was never really, you know, the burning of candles or anything like that. And so she explained it to me. And she said, Rich, you know, since we're starting here up in Steritania as our first pastorate at that time, she said, why don't we just, you know, introduce it to the congregation and kind of see where it goes. And for them, it was the first time also. They've never had, you know, in the previous years, they never had the celebration of Advent, meaning, you know, the coming of Christ. Christ has come, and the symbolism as well is in the lighting of the candles. So it was a very special time for them. And then we decided, well, you know, we're not only going to do this at church, we're also going to do this in our home as well, having two boys. And I know what it's like to raise boys. Girls as well, you know, but, you know, Lord just blessed us with boys. In fact, in my mind, when we were married, both Diane and I thought we were going to have girls. And she did, you know, she had two girl names picked out, you know, Melinda and Melissa. That was going to be their name. Well, we ended up with Brian and Brock. That's what we ended up with, you know, at that time. But we decided. And you know, with boys, it's wild and crazy. It really is, especially when you're trying to have Advent, a very serious, solemn time, you know, with the lighting of the candle. And of course, when you're lighting a candle, they want to light the candle, you know, not me as their father, you know. They want to light it. They want to blow it out. There's something really special about doing that. And then with the reading, you know, it was pandemonium, you know. They were just all over the place. And for those first, you know, maybe 10 years, you know, as they were growing up, you know, we did well on day one. You know, I've got through day one. But the next thing, you know, we knew, realized that, well, here it is, day eight, you know. where did all the time go? But as time went on, the boys remember that. They remember those special moments, as wild and chaotic and crazy that it was. They still remember the time that we had together. Till this day, we still have Advent in our home. Though it's different this time, as you know, without Diane. But I told him, I said, this is one way we can honor, you know, my wife, your mother, and Gigi. I said, because she's the one that introduced it to me. I had no clue about it, you know. And so we continue to have, you know, Advent in our home. This time we don't miss a day unless I happen to be away, which I was this past weekend. I was away visiting my sister. So kind of missed it, you know, but I made sure that I, for myself, I have it each day. And I told the boys with their respective families, you know, that they're on their own. But on Sunday night, we call each other up. We're all on the phone together. And I said, we're going to have Advent together as a family. And so I kind of look forward to those Sunday night times, you know, which about 8 o'clock in the evening is when we have it, you know. So, yeah, with kids, it's wild and crazy. Believe me, there's hope. they do remember. With grandchildren as well, it's wild and crazy. But, you know, just keep plugging away, because they will always treasure those special moments. And I was glad to see that you still celebrate, you know, Advent here in your church as well. Because the kids do hear. When you think they don't hear, they do. Believe me, they do. I find it remarkable with Landon, who's only 10 years old. When I think he's not listening, oh my goodness, he brings things up, you know, about things I thought you weren't listening. But Advent is. It's a very special. And I trust, you know, that as we looked at the names of Christ, you know, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, I'll just only be able to speak on two of them. This Sunday will be the term Wonderful. The next Sunday we'll look at Counselor is what we will look at, you know. But still, it's all very pertinent, you know, because Jesus is, he is wonderful. But it seems like in the culture that we live in today, because of everything that's kind of going on in our circle, you know, we've kind of lost the wonder of who Jesus really is. And I'll get to that as far as in a short while, as far as why we have kind of have lost that time. But as we look back, you know, on the past year, you know, can you say in your life and in your journey that you've been on, has everything been wonderful? You know, I know if I'm honest with myself, when I look back in this past year, a lot has happened, you know, in my journey. You know, things happened that I didn't really expect to happen, but they occurred. And it was indeed very, very upsetting and very, you know, sad. And trying to make, you know, all new adjustments and knowing that I'm on a new journey, a new adventure. Even physical issues as well, but I guess that all comes with the aging process. As I've been told by the doctor, you know, so I'm not just making this up, you know, the doctor just kind of reminds me of these things. And I got to be focused, you know, upon Jesus, especially during this Advent season, which is I'll be honest, it's a hard time for me, because I know this was as special as I mentioned earlier. This was a very special time for my wife. She loved Advent. She loved Christmas. I was able to decorate the house, but not in the way that I know that she would decorate it to the best of my ability. But it just brought back some memories, and some of those memories were painful. In fact, even last night, I just had and I know they say this happens when you're grieving over the loss of a loved one. You know, I literally had a meltdown. I just sat at the table, started eating, you know, and boom, it just came on me. And I thought, Lord, you know, I'm grateful, you know, that I have a Heavenly Father. He sees every tears. He knows all about that, you know, and He helps us through that journey. But yet, so I have to say to myself, you know, as broken as I am, still Jesus is, which is a declaration of faith. He is wonderful because He sees the big picture. And when I think also of my Savior, know that who He is and what He's done for me, you know, I can capture in my mind, you know, not only Him as my Savior and that He is the true light that I need, but also He is the divine presence. He is the living presence who has promised, you know, never to leave me, never to forsake me. I like what it says there in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 77. Verses 11 through 14. And this is what it says. The psalmist said, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also on all your work and share of all that you have done. Your way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God that does wonders. He is. He is a God who does wonders. He's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that's at work in your life and in my life as well. You know, but yet the reality is, a lot of people today, they are bored to death. And their hearts are empty. And it's amazing, you know, because when you think about it, if we kind of look into the physical aspect there for just a short bit. You know, with all the technology that we have, I don't know about you, but I remember when I was a little boy, I try to remind my kids, you know, my grandkids about this as well. They kind of looked at me as like a deer in headlights, you know, as far as what you're talking about, you know. I said, but I remember, you know, my uncle, and I was probably maybe about 5 or 6 years of age, and my uncle said to me, he said, Richie, I have a great invention I want to show you. It's really a neat thing. And he took two cans that were empty, tin cans, and tied a string, you know, made a hole in the bottom one, and maybe we were about 20 or 30 feet apart. And he said, now, put this one up in your ear. And he said, and I will speak through the other one. And he said, you'll really be hear my voice. He said, it's really neat. And I thought, and he did that, you know, and I thought, wow, that is really neat. Do y'all remember something like that? I mean, I thought that was, you know, and whoever thought, I kind of grew up watching cartoons as well on Saturday, inevitably. You know, either Bugs Bunny, you know, or the Roadrunner. Or the other cartoon I kind of watched too was the Jetsons. Remember that? I thought that was amazing, where they'd be talking on the phone and there was a screen that could see the other person that they were talking to. Oh, wow. Duh. We're living in that age now, aren't we? Except we're not flying around, you know, in vehicles, you know, but it may come. Of course, there's these self-driving vehicles. I know my son-in-law and my sister, you know, they were saying, you know, they were out to California recently, and they said, you'd be amazed at the vehicles that are out on the road that has no driver. I said, well, who sits in it? Well, there's people in there, but they're in the back seat. There's no one in the front seat. I said, really? He said, yeah. They were just, you know, I guess there was these Uber drivers, you know, no, well, no drivers. I thought, whoa. I said, I don't know about that. But with all that technology, when you think about it, and all the gadgets, people are never really satisfied. They think it's wonderful to have, but that wonder is only temporary. And they lose because they want a new toy, something bigger and better that kind of comes along there after that. And still they're not happy. And the remedy, you know, to the lostness of this wonder, you know, is Jesus. He's the true wonder that captivates us, that ought to amaze us, that ought to surprise us. During the Advent season, as we look forward to the Christmas day, as we know the unwrapping of the gifts, or the exchange of gifts, the greatest gift is God's love to all of humanity, to unwrap that gift. You know, I said to my sister and them, and her husband, you know, they kind of gave me a few gifts, you know, that I brought back with me. And she made sure she texted me and said, now, whatever you do, do not open those gifts until Christmas Day. You know, it's more like you're kind of a little kid. You want to open it up right away, you know. So I obeyed my sister. Believe me, you know, if you knew my sister, you better obey her, you know, you're going to hear about it. So I obeyed, you know, I thought, okay, I won't. I said, but I didn't expect that. She said, you know, well, it's small. I said, because the greatest gift really, you know, is just my time with you folks, with family. And that's what Christmas is about. It's about family. It's about the friendships that we have that we can share with one another. But above all, it's about Jesus, about Jesus. You know, during this time of the year, you know, how we need to capture again, as I mentioned, you know, the true wonder of life, eternal life, the true wonder of the Christ child, the true wonder of what Christmas is really all about. You know, there's this one hymn that's sung, maybe hasn't been sung for a while, We Three Kings of Orient Eye. And there the chorus kind of goes, star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. You know, with all the lights that we see from different homes, how they sparkle, but also maybe a reminder of light and the stars above in the heavens. And of that one star that guided some wise men to the Christ child that has shone brightly. And don't you find, you know, in most homes as well, for those who have Christmas trees, what do we usually put on the top? Sometimes there's an angel on top. Other times there is a star on top as well. To remind us, that ought to remind us, well, that's a nice star that we have up there. I'm sure it is. It's a nice star. But again, to remind us of the star of Bethlehem, leading these men to Christ. Wise men, as we know, the saying is, it's an old saying, but it's a true saying, wise men still seek him. And may we indeed, during this Christmas season, be people who truly seek him. But why is there so little wonder in life? I thought of a few here. I wrote down some, you know, thoughts or some ideas. Maybe one of the reasons why there's so little wonder, you know, is because life can be very disappointing. And I'm sure we've gone through those times where things can be very disappointing. Things just don't last as long as what they used to last anymore. Right? You buy something, my son-in-law, he was telling me they just bought a refrigerator, and the guy told him who delivered the refrigerator to their house, he said, don't expect this refrigerator to last more than 7 years. And that's true. I had one repairman come, you know, to fix our washing machine in our home. He said, Rich, they don't fix washing machines like they used to. They won't last forever. That's why so many of them are made out of plastic. He said, because the idea is they want them to break down. And if you have it for 5, maybe 7 years, Well, you're fortunate, you know, it may last you 9 years, so that's kind of iffy. It'll probably eventually, it will just break down. Things just don't last. You know, we're kind of given this idea, you know, that they will last forever, but they don't. And so we find that, you know, as far as with things, we're disappointed in it. Because they just don't last. They run out, they wear down, they break. Even circumstances as well. You know, circumstances, they change. You know, I don't know what you may be going through, you know, but life changes. And sometimes we don't like change. But I remember one time this one person said, you know, but change is the essence of life. We couldn't stop changing ourselves. You know, I didn't want to stay and be a baby all my life. I had to grow up. I mean, I always look forward to the birthday, you know, but at times I'm not looking forward to my next birthday. It's kind of crazy. But we all change physically. We change emotionally, and we change spiritually. Thank God we ought to be changing spiritually. That's a good thing. But still, we live in this constant world of change all the time. Get irritated by that. Or we get, you know, or even sadly, you know, we're disappointed in people too. You know, people will, you know, there was a time, you know, when a handshake meant something because they kept their word. Nowadays, you got to have a contract. And even contracts are broken. And so we're left with being disappointed in all those things. And so we kind of lost that sense of wonder. We also live in a very impersonal world. Don't you love the automated voices? When you call, you call someone, you know, and you try to make an appointment, and sometimes you go through this litany of numbers, as far as which one to press, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, was it one I needed to press, or do I need to press three? Okay, I'm going to press three. Then you press three, you know, and then, okay, now you need to press one, you need to press two in order to get to the person you need to get to. And then you're talking to someone who's not a real person, you know, it's just an automated voice. And sometimes I want to scream, I want to talk to a person, not a machine. It's so automated anymore. And I always love it, you know. They always say, you know, sometimes it comes across, you know, in the automated voice, you are caller number two, so please just stay on. If you don't want to, just leave a message, and we'll make sure that we get back. Something to that effect. It's like, oh, I'm going to wait. So they put on music, you know, and you're waiting, you know, and you wait maybe about 5 or 10 minutes, you know, and then again it comes back on again. You say, you are still caller number two. I'm like, who are they talking to? You know, it's taking so long. You know, so it just kind of goes on and on, you know. And even today, you know, even with people now, what do they do with their phones? They're always, what, texting. I was told, you know, the story of my, I think it was my great uncle, and he was in the mall when they had malls, you know. I mean, I find it depressing when I walk through a Logan Valley Mall. I don't know if you've ever been there. I remember what it used to be like when we first moved here in 98. And now you walk through it and you think, it's kind of scary. You know, when you're walking through there. But anyways, you know, my great uncle, he was with his nephew, and nephew was probably about, you know, 10 years old or so, and he was sitting there on a bench in the mall, and he saw his nephew was texting. And he said, what are you doing there? He said, well, I'm just texting. He said, well, who are you texting to? Oh, to my brother. And his brother was in the store right across from where they were sitting at. He said, well, why don't you just go over there and talk to him? He said, oh, it's easier just to text. I'm like, oh, my goodness. No, but that's the world we live in nowadays. You know, either we've got to get something by an email or texting or whoever, whatever means that we live in. You know, so we're becoming so impersonal. And we lose that sense of wonder. We also live in a world that's becoming more and more commercial. I mean, it's just one thing after another we're slammed with, you know, and we find these things, you know, very disturbing. And I don't know about you, but I was watching this one program this past week, you know, as far as with commercials on television. And I was really getting into this program. It was a story of the Christmas story narrated by Kevin Costner. But it was very good. I thought, man, I was really just focused on listening to it. But every 10 minutes, they would have a commercial. Now, the program lasted for 2 hours, but I thought if they threw out all the commercials, I think that program would have lasted only for an hour. which would have been good because it kept the continuity. But I found it disturbing, you know. And of course, with these commercials that they have on anymore, you know, I'm thinking, you know, who in their right mind would take that product when they kind of give you all the side effects? I'm just it's kind of rushing through my mind. But, you know, but they swear this product will help people, make you live a happier, healthier life. You know, that really? I don't know. But we lose that wonder because, again, we come up being disappointed. And also, in other words, we're busy. You know, people are busy today. You know, they just don't have time for each other. I mean, I remember, you know, I'm down my age here, you know, and maybe I'm sure some people still do it, but there was a time, you know, when you would sit on the front porch, of course, not in the wintertime, of course, but, you know, you would sit on the front porch and neighbors would gather around. Not a lot of neighbors, you know, but maybe someone who lived across the road, someone who lived right next door, you know, you just, out there, you just chat with one another and just carry on a conversation. People don't have time for that anymore. Why? Because they're just too busy in the world that we live in. Just don't have enough time, not enough hours in the day to get everything accomplished that we want to get accomplished. But of course, the number one culprit, you know, is that of sin. It's sin. And sin, we know, separates us from God. It separates us from having that fellowship. Now, for us as believers in Christ, you know, our walk with Him is genuine, it is real, but we still struggle with sin. We struggle with anger. Perhaps some may not. Others may struggle with covetousness, greed, lust, unforgiveness, unfaithfulness. Now, if you don't struggle with any of these litany of sins I kind of mentioned, there's a bunch more as well. I thought, whoa, okay. But you need to read 1 John chapter 1. Because if anyone says that he doesn't sin, you know, he's a liar. But it breaks that fellowship with God and what God's best is for each of us. And so we lose that sense of wonder. And thank God for 1 John 1:9 that says, you know, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and restores that fellowship that we have, you know, with Him. So I believe, you know, the remedy in all of us, I kind of already alluded to already, you know, is Jesus Christ. You know, it's not, you know, so I'll Google and see if I can't find the answer to this problem. I have done that. And I'm even more confused when I do that. You know, when the doctor or someone, you know, I read something on the report about something's going on with me, the endoscopy, you know, that I'm having, you know, or the digestive issues. I'm saying, okay, I'll Google. I've done this. I will Google what's causing these digestive issues. I get a little bit specific, too. And it comes up with this a lot of stuff. And I'm sure the doctors really love it when you go in and you say, well, you know, I just Googled, you know, it's almost like doctor probably thinking, okay, you want to take my seat, you know, and I'll be the patient? You know, it's not through Googling. You know, it's not. It's just through Jesus Christ alone. And we got to, you know, realize what kind of world that Jesus came into 2,000 years ago. And even the setting where Jesus was born and the culture that Jesus grew up in as well. I mean, we think of Herod, as the Bible talks about Herod there during the Nativity. Herod was ruthless. Herod was very paranoid. Herod was, you know, in his mind, you know, he always thought that someone was after his throne. That's why history records the fact, you know, that he had his own son assassinated or killed. Because he thought his son was going to take the throne. And he wasn't going to have his son have any part of that. He even had, you know, his own wife as well, you know, killed. Because she thought she was conspiring against him. And we know the tragedy of all tragedies is when Herod gave the orders, when the wise men did not come back with the report of where the Christ child was, he issued a decree have all those 2 years and younger be killed. And the coastal area as well. That's the kind of setting that Jesus wasn't a very glamorous, peaceful time in history. Very chaotic, a very dark time. But the light was shining. And when you think of Jesus, you know, of all people, Mary and Joseph. Not the famous, not the one, not the wealthiest. Very poor individuals, unheard of. No one knew of Joseph and Mary. But God, in the fullness of time, entered a human body for the first time. Can you imagine that? In the fullness of time, Mary, unknown, poor, a peasant. And for God to make himself known among shepherds who were considered outcast, a dirty lot, so to speak. Probably, you know, the language would be kind of undesirable, being shepherds, being men, not of the faith, brought up in the sanctuary, in the church. But of all people, and even a star to shine far away to some wise men to make a journey. How long this journey was, they traveled many miles because of just a star. But probably reminded that there's a king that was born we have got to see. And maybe it was a journey that took them 2 years. And the reason why I say 2 years is because keep in mind when the wise men appeared to Herod, they asked, they said, where's this child that was born king of the Jews? Herod got a little nervous, got a little scared what was going on, and he said to them, well, you go and search, because he had some scribes there, and the scribes said to him, you know, they said, well, we know the Bible says in Bethlehem. And so he sends them, go to Bethlehem, you find this child, you come back and report. And they didn't come back and report, and so Herod in his mind said, okay, probably by the time they saw this star, was about 2 years ago, so every child 2 years and younger be killed. So that's why I believe that they appeared to the Christ child when Jesus was 2 years of age. Not when, as many pageants today, they had the wise men coming, you know, when at the nativity. That didn't really happen. It was probably when Jesus was just a little toddler. Can you imagine Jesus being a toddler? God being a toddler? I mean, can you imagine that? He was probably just running around, you know, like little toddlers do. Maybe he entered the terrible two stage. I don't know. Not much is given. I'm curious about that. You know, was he the perfect little, you know, two-year-old? I think he was just like any other two-year-old because he was just a child, just growing up. Because one day, you know, when he got 12 years of age, he kind of ran off. Well, not really ran off, you know, but kind of got away from his parents. Parents were petrified. They did finally found him. We know the rest of the story. That's for another time. But, you know, but that's just so amazing, you know, when you think about that, about the Christ. But he came with a purpose in mind. And that was until 30 years or some later. And even where he was born, Bethlehem was not a vibrant, spectacular city that you would want to visit. It's just where Joseph had to go. Because of taxes. It was a poor town, a poor city. And it's interesting because I kind of researched this a little bit, that it was so poor that most of the people, they did live in caves. And caves were used also for shelters for their animals. Now, I'm sure you've all been in a barn out here on the farm. And every now and then you get a good whiff that the fields were spread with whatever they spread it with. I'm sure the setting was just like that where Jesus was born, because the Bible says he was laid in a trough that the cows would eat out of. Not just little nice little picture that we have in our minds that you see on Christmas cards. I mean, those are nice. Don't get me wrong. Please, don't misunderstand. Those are nice. But we've got to keep it in perspective, what it was like for Jesus. And to grow up in Nazareth. Nazareth wasn't a very popular town, because remember when I think Bartholomew was called, and he said, what good comes out of Nazareth? It's kind of a raunchy town. And that's where Jesus grew up. But he remained focused, as he's encouraging us. I know how bad life can be, how troubling it can be, but because I came for you, that you would live the abundant life. But you can only live the abundant life when you place your faith and your trust in me, because ultimately that's why I came, was to take your place on the cross of Calvary. My blood was shed there on that cross. I was beaten. I was spit upon. I was made fun of. I was ridiculed. He could have called for legions of angels to come and to wipe out the entire human race. But because of his great love, he did that for you. He did that for me, that we will experience life abundance. And when I capture that in my mind, I begin to realize, God, you are truly wonderful. Even when I don't feel so wonderful myself, but I got to capture my mind how wonderful you are. And the greatest miracle of all is not only what he has done for you, but the Bible also reminds us he is living in you through the work of the Holy Spirit. He is in you. Paul said there in Galatians 2, verse 20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ, what? Lives, what? In me. He's living in you. He's living in you in spirit. You are precious to him. And he's living in you. And even that passage in Revelation 3, verse 20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, opens your heart's door, what will he do? He will come in. And he will dine with you and be with you for the rest of your life. Through the ups and downs, through the disappointments, you know, through the impersonalization, the commercialization that we see in our world, the busy world that we is, he's living in you to make your day a little bit brighter. And truly we can say, you know, he is wonderful. All to capture, you know, the Advent season, as I kind of mentioned, you know, how special a time that it was and is, you know. Because for us, when I kind of go through this with my grandkids, you know, each candle is to remind us as a family that in light of what we've experienced this past year, the missing of Gigi, the missing of mother, the missing of my wife, you know, Jesus, in the midst of all of that, with each candle that we light, as today it was the third candle, but still, you know, that he is our hope. He is our love. He is our joy. He is our peace. He is truly wonderful. Capture that in your mind as you continue this journey that he has you on, because we know how the journey is going to end. I know how it's going to end. I trust you do too. Oh, may the Lord bless you. Father, thank you again for these reminders. Thank you for your word. Indeed, it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And truly, Lord, I know life can be hard. And I know life can be difficult and life can be disappointing. And you already know that as well. Nothing catches you off guard. Nothing surprises you. But thanks be to God, Lord, we, your children, we can cry out to you, even with tears in our eyes as well. And you know, you see every tear that we shed. You know the heartache that we go through and the pain that occurs. But God, as we lift our soul and our voices up to you, you're there to receive us. You're there to gather us to yourself. You are there to comfort us. Lord, we don't deserve any of that, but you are there. You are who you say you are. You are truly wonderful. And may we walk with that confidence for this day and the days to come. For it's in the blessed name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Yeah. Josiah, do you have that next song, His Name is Wonderful? Okay. It's a chorus I think most of you are familiar with. We'll stand and sing. We're closing.